Unloose the goose. We'll take no views. Your paradigm's run out of time and we've got no use. Unloose the goose.
Hello, folks. Jack Spirko here, one member of the Unloose the Goose gaggle of geese, with a little extra 30 seconds here appended to the beginning of today's audio version of this week's podcast. This was episode 34 of Unloose the Goose. We tackled vaccine passports, what to do about them, and discussed that in depth along with other things affecting liberty and freedom. Well, this episode was popular in our live stream on YouTube, but so controversial that, you guessed it, YouTube censored it, threatened us to take down our account if we did other videos like it. Don't worry, the video version of the podcast you're about to listen to will soon be coming to our Odyssey channel, so you can share it there. And as controversial as it apparently is, we'd like to ask that you do so. With that, turn it over to one of my co-gaggle members to introduce episode 34 of Unloose the Goose.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Unloose the Goose podcast, the Agorist Solutions podcast, with an emphasis on solutions, because Lord knows there's so much out there that focuses on the problem. Well, today we're going to talk about a problem. We're going to offer solutions. We're going to offer what it is you can do about it. More importantly, today the topic is immunity passports or vaccine passports or digital immunity certificates, which are coming to a neighborhood near you, an airport, a grocery store, a concert. The propaganda is being rolled out. This is one of those things that a lot of people saw as kooky and a conspiracy early on, and now just a year later, it's totally come to fruition. So we're going to be breaking down our insights and opinions on that. And like I said, it's a solutions podcast. So I know a lot of people are concerned about this and sharing it, and it's the talking point of the day in many of our liberty agorist conspiracy circles. But let's focus on the solutions, because I think there's some things that we can do about it before it gets too out of hand. Too late. How's everybody doing today? Old Hawk, Spearco, Nicole Sauce, the Den Mom took off.
Here.
Oh, my goodness.
The FBI's knocking on her door.
My cat wants out the minute these starts every single time. But he looks
a nice
so
background,
lovely.
By
right?
the way.
Yeah, I moved
like
my
that.
Office to a new built new room.
It's all profesh.
Yeah.
How is everybody?
I'm good. I'm good.
How was the workshop?
The workshop is exhausting.
It was fantastically exhausting, though.
Yeah, I'm not recovered yet. I'm almost recovered.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole,
I woke up today for the first time at the right time instead of the wrong time.
Oh,
like late. You know how you sleep in after a workshop, and then today I woke up at the right time. I was like, nope, another half hour.
I'm exhausted, super busy all day, wake up 4:30, go to bed at like 10:30, 11,
nice.
And it's nonstop all day. And I couldn't be happier, but I'm just exhausted.
Beast mode.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, let's get right down to it. For those that aren't familiar, like there's this vaccine immunity passport, COVID passport. It's this concept where once you take your COVID vaccine, you have a pass, could come in the form of a piece of paper. More than likely, they're going to be on cell phone apps. These already exist, right? And you use this as a green light to enter public spaces. The propaganda is being pushed extremely hard as, you need to do this so we can go back to normal. And we've been enslaving you and putting you on house arrest for quite some time. So we know you really want it. You're probably going to be willing to do just about anything. And, you know, one of the scary parts is it's really technocracy in action. Even one of them, the Common Pass, it's backed by the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation. And it's one of these COVID immunity passports. So what's y'all's take? Do you guys remember first hearing old Gates talk about the digital immunity certificate? And everyone was like, what does that mean? What does that mean? And now here we are so quickly thereafter with it all being rolled out, and it's starting to be rolled out here in the U.S. When did you guys first hear about this concept, and what were y'all's thoughts?
I mean, the first time I heard about it was months into this. I mean, it was probably like May or June last year, and this was already being talked about, right? And they were talking about when we have a vaccine, we'll have this thing. And then if you, at the time they were saying, like, if you had a vaccine or you had COVID, but now, of course, having COVID is not good enough. You have to have COVID and the vaccine, which really kind of drives home the point that it's not a vaccine. If it was a vaccine, you know, you wouldn't have to have it after having the disease. So that's how long ago I heard about it. And my thoughts then were the same as they are now. You can shove it up your ass, all up in your ass. There's no vaccine and no passport coming here.
That's right. Yeah. What about you, Hawk? When did you hear about this whole great plan?
I heard about it in Sunday school in the Bible. No, it's not far off. It's not too far off, right? It's sort of the technocratic mark of the beast. Here we are. Nobody thought it would come, and yet everybody kind of felt like it would. And I think, you know, like Jack said, I really started hearing about it in the news cycle or at the conscious level of the population right around when the whole virus started. My personal understanding is that the virus was never deadly, right? And that the whole purpose of the virus was to enact the vaccine, to lock down everybody, get everybody terrified, not thinking for themselves, not thinking clearly, and then give them an out, problem, reaction, solution, right?
Classic move.
Create the problem. It's not super deadly so that they can be like, look, we didn't do anything bad. You know, we just released this variant of a virus or a variant of a flu virus that was genetically modified. And then, boom, we've got the solution. And everybody will do it out of their own free will and take the mark, essentially, because they're afraid. And the only reason they're afraid is because they lack any connection with their divine, you know, creator, the infinite creator, and live in fear. So free will, it's a tricky thing.
Yeah, what about you, Sauce, the Den Mom?
So I heard about it the same way as everybody else, so I won't repeat that. But my thoughts on the passport after when I heard about it were like, over my dead body. And then there was this long pause in my head. It's like, damn it, my body's going to be dead because I think it might actually happen. And I thought maybe it wouldn't happen with this round of virus coming through, but we are now, we've set the foundation for wave after wave of these sorts of viruses coming through and just being used as stepping stones of control. So I figured if not this one, the next one.
Yeah, it's a clear problem reaction solution paradigm, just like after 9/11, everybody gets riled up. I think people are even more riled up and it's even more psychologically harming. And the fear is even stronger because it's not fear of the boogeyman or a terror attack. It's like you're afraid of every single person and every surface and all sorts of stuff. I am grateful to see. I'm grateful to see that there's certain states and jurisdictions that just aren't having it, like our good friend Governor DeSantis.
Florida!
Wow, he's like really pushing back strong. Hopefully Greg Abbott will follow suit. That remains to be seen, but it's cool that at least in this pseudo federal system we have, there's areas that probably tend to be more conservative areas that just kind of are over it at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that we're going to see this here in Texas either. I think Abbott will handle this similar to DeSantis, probably a little more milquetoast. That's been his thing. He's like, I'm going to wait and see what DeSantis does, and then I'll kind of do it too with a little less authority, it seems like, you know. But, I mean, as you know, John, living here, we've reopened the state. Now, there's still a bunch of Muppets walking around triple masking or whatever, but
mostly. Especially in Austin.
Yeah, Austin is the lost cause. We know that's like little California here. I think this is going to be a difficult thing for them to actually do. I think if you look at it, and I don't place a ton of faith in the Constitution, but I also do not place a ton of faith in the competence of government. And when I look at this, doing this with executive action, I think doesn't make it past two levels in the court system. Like, I don't think a governor can do it, and I don't think a president can do it with executive action. Where it gets frightening is if they can get it actually put through legislature. That's a whole different ball of wax on the constitutionality of this. And then I think people like DeSantis throw a whole monkey wrench in this because, okay, well, we're going to roll out this national vaccine thing or whatever. Okay, and then DeSantis is like, yeah, here, you can take your vaccine passport and this is what you get, right? And then, okay, now how do you handle that, right? Because you can't make a governor, like, they haven't been able to make a governor have a mask mandate. So how are you going to make a governor right. have a passport mandate? What can happen, though, is the Federal Aviation can say, well, you got to have one to get on a plane. Walmart can say, we've yeah. decided you have to have one to come in a Walmart store.
Ticketmaster.
And then that goes a whole different angle through the courts. And so I don't know. I think this is going to be interesting. But I think the other kind of like thing we have in our corner is the highest rate of noncompliance with the vaccine is in healthcare workers. And that seems like when you have 50% of doctors and nurses and paramedics and shit going, nope.
Yeah.
And how do you do this, right? How do you push it? I don't know that you can. It's going to be like, are they really serious about this? Or are they like, let's just see if they're that stupid. Like, because it's not like something like, okay, Biden signed the NEO and now it's the law of the land. It doesn't work that way. And I don't know where it's going to go.
I think it's interesting that right now there's an uptick in messaging how much more contagious the new variants are. And that the vaccine makes you less susceptible to the more contagious variants that are coming out. And I think that's setting the foundation for trying to empower private business implementation. I don't think it's going to be a mandate. I think it's going to be, as you said, you can't go to Walmart or you can't get on a plane, or you can't get on a train, public transport's turned off to you, whatever that is.
I mean, the plane, I think, will be the first place, right? Like,
yeah.
Because they can do that. Now, whether it stands, I don't know, but they can say this is the way it's going to be from this point forward. I do think they'd have to put some sort of lead-in period because you have people that already have arrangements and flights and stuff, but they could say, like, you know, June 1st onward to fly on a plane, you have to do it. The whole store thing is weird to me because, okay, so 70% of all people can't buy your shit. Okay, are you sure you want to do this? Like, yeah. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
we live in an economy where, like, if your sales go down 1%, Wall Street dumps you like a bad booger. Like, can you afford to do that? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a beautiful market mechanism in place, at least. And I don't think that they don't have the constitutionality, but that hasn't stopped them before to do something federally. Some states could try to pass things. But yeah, I think it's going to be this business route. And as I've been studying this whole Great Reset, New World Order 2.0 thing, it's becoming more clear that a lot of their mechanisms for rolling out this agenda, they're bypassing state and federal governments in large part. They're either going directly to the cities or they're partnering with private industry or tax-exempt foundations, NGOs. And they do this end run around. They even want to like conveniently manage areas and jurisdictions by not having to go through the constitution of the courts. And then there's a cultural thing about it too. But yeah, if enough people push back, then these businesses are going to have to think twice. Unfortunately, it seems like the good bulk of the masses in some areas, and I hate that this got politicized, but it does seem like there's a tendency for conservatives, or at least more true conservatives, to see through this stuff. We have Trump to thank for that. You know, he actually threw some pretty good haymakers at the whole COVID agenda. Kind of missed that guy. In some ways, but I did find the Ask Me Anything that Bill Gates did early on. And this was before it was even in consciousness or being propagandized. He's always ahead of the curve. There's something to that. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Well, when you make the curve, you can be ahead of it, right?
Yeah.
You are the cause of the curve.
It's almost like there's a conspiracy to carry out some nefarious stuff. So this is what he said in an Ask Me Anything. And I'm going to do my impression.
Well, you know, eventually we'll have to get some digital certificates to show who has recovered or been tested recently, or when we have a vaccine, who has received it.
That's what he was saying way early on when the vaccine wasn't even – no one even knew that it would be able to be done in 2020 or 2021. And it all goes back into this agenda. And I think that they're going to drive it home. And if it's not successful, then maybe they'll release another variant or a new virus. But it all ties in with tracking and tracing human beings, because it's not just going to be used for immunity certificates. There's this whole tokenization and like blockchain surveillance program that's being carried out. and they're going to like give you green lights because you have a certain credit score maybe above or below, or because you are below your carbon credits that you're allotted for the waste that you do at your house or something like that. That's where this is going. And this is just the little first baby step to get there.
So what I'm wondering when you say that, John, and first of all, they are ramping up the bullshit. I mean, I keep hearing hospitalizations and cases and deaths are up, and I'm like, really? So you pull up their data, and it's like, no, they're not. Since that scene with Adam Sandler and the fat guy on the bus. Right?
Yeah, but you could imagine if they were.
Right? No, they're not, right? Yeah. But so maybe what you do is you put this thing out, right, and you get people to start using it. And then you get all, like, we know who's going to use it, right? The people you see driving in their car by themselves, no one's going to have to make them install the app and do all this shit. So if you can get, like, 50% of the population install this app that does this thing, even if they never actually use it for this thing, now it's in place. Now it's in place for, well, you know, I don't know if I can rent my apartment to you. What's your social credit score, right? So maybe you use this, like, because man, I'm with you on how much the Constitution fails us on a daily basis and how it doesn't matter.
No, the Constitution doesn't fail us. The people who are meant to uphold it fail us. The fact is we are not conspiracy theorists at this point. The fact is we are not like off our rockers for actually thinking and reasoning out loud and looking at the fucking evidence and then saying, if this is happening, the fact that this is happening is like an anathema to every good human being. Why isn't anybody doing anything about it? How do we do something about it? How do we stand up and say, this is not okay? In the past, people would stand up and forcibly say, this is not okay, yeah, and do something about it. But today, like, where is that? Everybody's super comfortable, super afraid, and that's just how it fucking goes then, hey?
Well, so, no, I just hear about there. That I lady think the Constitution has been walked on since the day it was signed.
Yeah.
That it either didn't prevent all the shit that happened since,
there he goes,
or it was incapable. And I learned this from my good friend John Bush. Right?
I got it from Lysander Spooner.
Right? So, but no, what I'm saying is, like, as much as I see that failure happen, there are some things within that boundary that, like, they can't just get away with, and it takes time to erode. And I don't think we're to the point right now where you can mandate a vaccine and require it for freedom of movement. I don't think that passes constitutional muster with most liberal judges.
Muster?
Conservative judges. And one thing the Orange Man did, man, you could say whatever you want about a lot of stupid shit, but boy, did he stack the freaking court system heavy, right? Like, that's like, if nothing else, you got to give him props for that.
Yeah. That was a cool little passionate thing there Hawk just got into.
I was
feeling that energy there. He's ready to storm.
Well, no, you see, that's the thing. It's just, like, after listening to Jack's after Jack's episode on how the whole storming thing went down, I was like, of course, they fucking planned it, right? They knew what they were doing. They were stoking people's passions, and they had a plan and response. In the same way that they have got a plan and response for when some motherfucker in the United States decides he's going to take no more of this and starts popping off, and he inspires 100 other people who then inspire 1,000 other people, and then next thing you know, you have people actually standing up in kinetic warfare to defend whatever they think is their boundaries. And, like, that's just not a good situation for anybody. And that's just a recipe for more totalitarian, just enslavement. And it's like, It's so easy to watch the passions be manipulated. And here we are having a discussion about, and we have been factored into this somehow, you know? And I'm saying, like, how do we get out of this? The only way I can see is to build something new and better and have it be demonstrably, demonstrably and like clearly just a better choice, a better path to walk.
Fireon.
Liberty Airline.
Themselves.com. Yeah, Fireon.com. But, like, yeah, what happens when they require it for the airlines? It's like, you have no choice.
What's really going on here, though? Look over his shoulder. He's actually behind Buffalo Man. See, he's really he's the manipulator. Everybody see it? See
who?
The Buffalo head right behind next? Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You're the orchestrator. That, now we know.
No.
I knew it. Him and Klaus Schwab.
The Tonka.
They go way back. Nicole, you mentioned Liberty Airlines. Are you talking about the Dolores Cahill outfit?
No,
or are you just
I'm just saying if they make it mandatory to move around through private business, if there's a private business that does not require it, it's less of an issue, right, for people who want to travel. That's actually an opportunity to make money. And I know there's been some in the airline world, there's been some starts of you can book a private jet that's a rental when it's on its way back. They turned that into sort of like an Uber for private jets.
Clever.
I don't think it's really taken off. I've been keeping my eye on it because I basically just hate commercial flying. And when the price point and my how much I'm willing to pay not to have myself pissed off on an airplane reach that same line, eventually I'll go in that way.
What is that number?
Well, and I don't know. It changes as I become more prosperous. The number I'm willing to pay goes up. That's just the way that is.
That's a good phenomenon.
But
the question is, what's the number that Bitcoin goes to where you just buy your own a fraction in a jet, right?
Now exactly. We're talking. Let's all chip in. Because lost that Bitcoin on a boating accident.
Like the Liberty Airlines and stuff like that idea is that, okay, if you're like a small airport or whatever, that's one thing, like you know, actual private jet. But like if you're going to Dallas-Fort Worth Airport or Atlanta Hartfield or whatever, it's not Delta, it's not American, it's not U.S. Airways that says, hey, we're letting you through the checkpoint. It's freaking TSA, right? Yeah. So like if I started Jax Airlines because, I don't know, I could afford Jackistan and now I can get an airline. And if I'm going to fly out of like major airline major airline hubs, I can't dictate what gets you past security.
No, but at a private airport you can. And absolutely, there's a surprising number of private, like the reason I even thought of this is I bought like a super cheap ticket once.
Yeah.
And the morning of, I'm realizing it's not telling me to go to Nashville Airport. It's telling me to go the next door to Nashville Airport where there's a private airfield. And I like walked on the plane without showing any ID and flew to Atlanta.
Smoking a cigarette.
And then when I got to Atlanta, it was close enough to the Atlanta airport that I had to go through security to get my transfer. So I didn't go through security from Nashville to Atlanta.
Well, they could figure out the best routes. When you said there actually is a Freedom Airway, this woman, Dolores Cahill, she's a doctor. She participated in the last Greater Reset. Mm-hmm. And she's super badass. And there's like this conglomeration of people that are trying to build this, right? Sure, it's probably going to be expensive as hell. But unfortunately, you know, you got to pay to play these days. But that's the type of solution that exists. And that's agorism in action and markets in action. There's going to be an increasing demand for this type of thing. And I think what's important for people to realize that there's a lot of us, people that think like we do, people that act like we do. There's a lot of us that are successful too, super duper duper successful even. And everyone's just so busy in this victim mentality and crying and whining about how bad things are and how bad things are getting that they lose sight of the fact that, well, why don't we get together with a bunch of cool people and do a bunch of cool stuff to try to create an alternative to this, right? And that's like what our solutions are all about. That's what the work that we do in our own lives is all about. And I think if we had more people on board with that whole vibe, like we could build some cool shit. The time is now. And there's a lot of people that think like we do that didn't even realize like, wow, there's a bunch of people doing cool stuff that'll help me to avoid this. I'm in.
Yeah, I think that like we're entering this time where what sounds terrible is good if you take the opportunity. So what I was talking about recently on my show was how we now have 25-year-old kids who are at the prime of their health that are more afraid of freaking COVID than British citizens were during the bombing of Britain, right? When they were having bombs dropped on London every night and those people went on with their lives. They weren't like, oh, I don't care about it, but they went on with their lives. And we have 25-year-old kids hiding from the cold. That's horrible. That's terrible, but it's also beautiful because that just takes over half the people that are in competition in the world of business and just sidelines them. They're just out of the way. We don't have to worry about them. And they get their stimmy checks so we can sell shit to them because they don't want to come out of their house. So as long as you can ship a product or digitally deliver it, that's your audience. They're all fat with cash now. And I know that sounds like predatory, but I didn't do this, right? I'm just a person trying to make a living and you put this in front of me. Of course, I'm going to capitalize on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're still going to be in the workforce because part of the shift is to get everyone virtual, just sitting at their freaking little virtual meeting space and virtual conference and stuff. But whatever, fuck them. Send your stimmy checks my way.
In my way, so that's great.
There you go. Yeah, I was doing.
Go out and buy stuff again because they won't be there in my face.
Yeah.
I made the mistake. I went out on a Saturday. I was like, what the hell is this? There's people everywhere.
I think it's interesting that the cultural change that's happening with all of this in how what's considered the normal behavior is that we're taking people and under the guise of telling them it's altruistic or for the greater good, we're making them selfish in the bad meaning of the word, as in a sort of greedy. And I mean, Hawk kind of made me think about that when he was talking about how people aren't acting on behalf of other people anymore. And I thought about this lady who was beat up and kicked in New York while people working at the apartment were looking out the window, watching her have the crap beat out of her, but not helping.
Yeah.
Right. We don't help anymore.
Just videoing it with their phone.
We call the cops and wait, we video it, we share it, but what's more what's more giving to somebody to intervene when they're in a situation like that and stop it from getting worse? Or to call the cops and put it to your social network, and then because you alerted the cops, of course, you're a good person, right? That's the attitude we have. And with COVID, you just see it more where people are saying, well, I got the vaccine. I should be proud of that. I'm doing it for you. And those same people are like, and we need to force other people to do it because then you're not altruistic and you're selfish.
But isn't that what they always do? Like, they think they're being generous because they're for more taxes for giving money to the poor or whatever. Like, give your money to the poor.
Right, like, for taking other people's money.
Give them a job.
Oh, you think there should be population depopulation on the planet? Please volunteer.
Fireon.com. I've been noticing, I noticed with the COVID stuff as it was popping off, I began to realize like, wow, there's a really big disconnect between myself and my crew and a bunch of people out there in the world. And I started noticing this divergence when you can have the same phenomenon, but people, they see it completely different. It's like this weird Orwellian doublethink. And it kind of helped me to hone in on like, well, you know, to hell with those people. Let's go jam with our crew. You know, and let's like do the freedom cell thing and go to the workshops and hang out with this community. And I think this whole immunity passport underscores that. I was in this Facebook group for homeschooling, really big homeschool group where people share events and resources, right? And a lot of the parents were starting to say, hey, let's get our kids together for a play date at this park. Smile friendly was the term that I picked up on. That's like, they don't have to wear a mask, smile friendly. It'd be cool if they said pro-choice too, like choice whether you wear one.
Pro-facial choice.
They started censoring those posts and deleting those posts, and the admins made a big virtue signaling stink about it. So some people created an alternate group, Austin Homeschooling Connection, right? And mind you, it's smaller. It's like thousands and thousands versus 400 to 500. But I'm like, okay, those are my people. Those are my tribe, you know? And it's just, there's this divergence taking place, and maybe it's a good thing. Maybe we can all opt out and go inhabit seasteads and eco villages and just do our own thing, and they can have their immunity passport, and we'll have kick ass rock and roll concerts where it's just like it used to be in the good old days and a big field and everyone's hanging out.
You know, remember the comedian, I think it was Bill Engvall, that had the thing about here's your sign. And it's like stupid people should have to wear a sign and then we wouldn't rely on them for anything. And that was like 15 years ago he came out with that. And it was like, people were like, you know, actually, that'd be pretty good. Like, I was wondering if you could tell me, sorry, I didn't see your sign. And you just know not to talk to that person. And I'm wondering if, like, that's what we're getting. And I understand if you have to go someplace and you have to comply to be able to go there and you've made a decision. But when you see people walking down the street by themselves in a mask, I think it's actually a gift. It's like, okay, well, I know. And that's the divergence. Like, okay, this person is literally wearing a T-shirt that says, I'm a sheep. And, you know, I don't want to hurt the sheep, but I don't want to be part of the herd either.
Yeah.
I am a transvaxite. It means I identify as having been vaccinated, even though I haven't. And vaccination is a spectrum, and you're a bigot if you don't accept me for who I am. I don't accept your microaggressions or your judgments. It's vaccine privilege.
I like it. It's a crazy.
I saw a meme on Facebook that basically asked if voter ID is racist, how is a vaccine passport not racist?
And right.
If you are measuring by that measuring stick, it's more difficult for people who don't like to be on registries or may have difficulty getting transportation or access to the vaccine and all of those things to get the vaccine passport. What if you don't have one of these handy little things upon which the passport can go? So then we have to buy everybody a phone. That's an argument that is going to be hard to refute when it comes to it.
Oh, they don't refute arguments. They can't. There is no logical refutation of arguments that these folks make. It's really just this is what we want, and we're going to do everything manipulatively to get that result.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how many people think the vaccine passport's a good idea. Like, even out of the group of people who are going to roll up their sleeve and get the vaccination and think you should too, like, how many of them are actually okay with that? And I know a lot of them are, but
there are.
I got to believe that you
I think
got
it's
like
a lot.
I think it's about 50% of the people that are like, this is your vaccine right here. I'm not doing it. So that we know where those people stand. If you have like half of the people that are pro-vax, but are also kind of like pro-vax, pro-choice type people, that's like 70, 75% of the population going, no, this is a no-go. That's a difficult hurdle even for Kill Gates and Dr. Fraudzy to get past, right?
Fraudzy. You know?
And I totally ripped that off from the Dollar Vigilante dude and Lucy the dog.
Oh, boy.
Jack, I've noticed, and it's not data-driven, but I've noticed that my friends who are actually pro-forcing the vax on people, it's not so much about left or right.
Yeah.
It's about where they are and how locked down it was, and the places that were locked down more have a higher percentage of, we should force the vaccine on everybody so we can go back to normal life.
Evil.
So they really haven't
evil.
Had that.
So New York City, evil. New Jersey, Pennsylvania,
Oregon.
Michigan, California, Oregon, Washington, yeah. Right?
Like it's a great manipulation. We take away almost every single one of your rights, freedom of movement, liberty, right? That's one of the essence of liberty. And then we like slowly give it back to you, but only if you do this. It's hardcore. I think a bunch of people are going to be okay with the immunity passport because I've been noticing that a lot of the masses, quote unquote, just people that go along with the program, literally what their opinions are what is fed to them by the television. And you can tell when you start hearing with your quote unquote normie friends. I don't like that term so much, but you can start hearing when you're just talking to people or you grab a beer with someone or it's a phone call and they're all using the same talking points and they all have the same opinion. You're like, wait a second. Why do you feel that way? Oh yeah. That's the current thing of the day.
People still actually watch televisions?
Yeah, a lot. Especially with the lockdown. It was great. It was such a great plan. I'm in awe of what these guys managed to pull off because it's pretty sophisticated. And
so what about this angle? What do y'all think about 6-8 months from now when all of these people that got the guinea pig vaccine start having side effects and they start saying it's reactions to COVID, not the vaccine, and it's our fault that it's happening to them.
Yeah.
That would be the way I see them spinning that. It's all these non-vaccinated people that are creating weird mutations of COVID causing these weird things in the vaccinated population. And that's why they don't have them, which will make no sense. But like anybody
gaslighting
narrative up till now, I don't think it's that hard. Like it's to me, it's what they're going to do next. I don't, even though I proposed this topic for today, I don't think they're going to get this done. I just don't. I see it as too hard. And that what it makes me wonder is, so what is the end game if they know they're not going to get it done?
But like, Europe gets it done, we can't go to Europe if we don't have
it. That's totally valid. I think Europe.
And that's, I think something like that's, well, I mean, it's already done, but it's going to get done.
Europe, Britain, and Australia, New Zealand.
Sorry, German friends, never going to see you again.
NATO. I think that they'll get it done in a significant amount of places. I think that federalism is a unique thing about this country. And I'm grateful that there's still a ton of rugged individualist, good old conservatives, right? Especially in the South, in places like Texas, you know, they're just sort of like, we don't need that. And then there's like these ninny liberal areas, right? And then you're just establishment Republicans that go along. Hopefully they start losing more power, but I don't know. Maybe Biden just totally blows it and a lot of people lose faith in the progressivism thing.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice.
For,
but except for the progressives on the right come in after that happens and explain why more progressivism is the answer. That's what we've been doing forever, right?
People are seeing through the facade, you know, and I've been around the liberty movement for a long time, and it's so huge now. People even in like the agorist niche and just general voluntarism, and then there's people doing cool stuff. I wanted to hammer on what I think is one of the best solutions to this problem. And it's cool because the whole COVID thing, like it grew the Freedom Cell network from 1,000 to now 20,000. We broke over 20,000, which is super cool. Totally accelerated that. It's like forcing things a lot of people were talking about doing. It's forcing them to do it. Even myself, like talking about getting a property, like we're really making it happen because, wow, what just took place? This is scary. And so what I think the best solution is you examine like, all right, well, where are they going to hit us with the pressure to comply with an immunity passport? It's going to be like grocery stores, public commons, flights. So the thing to do, the response is just like Hawk said, we have to build the alternative and we have to double down on it and we have to be conscious of it. A lot of people hear it or they hear it on like our podcast or in these agorist solutions people. And they're like, that sounds like a good idea, but a lot of people don't actually go and make it happen. And so there's some tools that'll make it easier. And exactly what I'm talking about is building counter economies where we trade amongst ourselves. We grow the abundance and wealth and network amongst ourselves so that eventually we can maintain the same standard of living and quality of life. We just shift it over to doing business almost exclusively with our crew, right? Grocery stores are a great thing that's simple. Right. Yeah. Listen to Jack's podcast, the food production, all of these resilient networks and then employing one another. Cause I met someone at your last workshop, cool guy. He gets it, but he like had to go to town with HR and they compromised on wearing one of those face shields. But this was like a month long thing. And now some of these employers are going to force the vaccine as a contingent of being employed. So it's like, let's employ one another. Let's lean into entrepreneurship. Let's invest in little vans so we can still travel within the U.S. if it comes to domestic flights that you have to do all this. You know, that's the solution.
I do wonder where that intersection between HIPAA and vaccine passport is. Because you're
for a lawsuit, you mean?
Yeah, you're forcing me to disclose medical information I may not want you to know.
Maybe a decent judge, but
I know they've nixed it, but at some point it unnixes.
So I'm wondering, like, with what you were just saying, John, do you think that maybe this backfires? Like, so COVID hit small businesses the hardest, mostly brick and mortar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of us that have web-based businesses, 2020 was a great year for us. But if you were running...
Best year ever.
Like, best year... No, honest to God, right?
But
literally.
But if you were running a... If Nicole, instead of selling coffee, she shipped, was running a cafe, this, like, hits you... Two by four between the eyes, like Hacksaw Duggan from the 80s, right?
Classic.
But if they do this, and I don't think they can implement it, like, you can't drive down the road without a passport. Like, I'm locking and loaded at that point, right? So that's a different world. But if they do this and it's the Walmarts, it's all the mega corporations that do this, does it create a counter effect? Does all of a sudden, you know, Bill's Grocery become really freaking popular? Like, does Bill expand and put in three locations regionally because all of a sudden everybody's like, you know what, I'll pay a dollar or two more on this and that instead of going to Walmart or Albertsons or whatever, like, or, you know, Tom Thumb. And I think it could end up being like a total backlash if they try the commercial route, but who knows? Like I said, I vacillate between like faith in humanity and a complete and total loss of faith in humanity. It's hard.
It all depends on how much TV you watch, probably, and how much you hang out with like-minded people. I mean, there's a lot of us that think like this. One thing, like, I wasn't a big Trump guy, but I appreciated what he represented, an exit from the Clinton-Bush crime family, like Anglo-American establishment. I'm pretty sure could be a total op to totally divide and make it even worse. But I appreciated how he kind of came in and – you like really ignited this MAGA country, and they were opposed to a lot of the New World Order globalist stuff. And I think had he not had the election stolen from him or whatever happened, then I think that energy could have been
you know, big enough, strong enough to have a major mainstream impact. Because we're like a little agorist group and there's big names and people punch out into the mainstream a little bit. But like the whole MAGA thing, sure, was misdirected and largely statist, right? But like it was also against this agenda pretty strong. And for that to kind of be marginalized and slowly but surely fade, I think is an unfortunate thing for pushing back on this agenda.
I mean, I'm thankful it made J.P. Spears like come out as full on pro-freedom, even though I'm sure if we sat down in the room, there'd be things we disagree on. Like when you start reaching people who are more middle with the this is bullshit realization,
yeah,
I think that is helpful for a backlash.
So can he's one of those guys that pierces through to the mainstream a little bit.
He does. And I start like right when I started Baseline, I started sending it to his private inbox. And then like 2 weeks later, after there was a bunch of Baselines, he started doing his own version with his suit and his news broadcast. And I was like, really, dude?
Let's sue his ass.
No, I was like, hey, let's do a thing. You know, this is funny. You're funny. We should do a thing. And then he did his thing of my thing. And I was like, all right.
He's here in Austin.
Losing faith in humanity pretty
quick.
He
needs to get on Odyssey. Yeah. Like the CEO of Odyssey will just hook him up if he just reaches out.
They're in trouble with the SEC now because the library credits, it's a corporation. That's why decentralization always wins, because there's no corporation for the government to sue.
This is interesting to me on that, because what the FTC is saying is they directly sold library credits and specifically to American citizens.
Yeah.
And when I tried to buy library credits as an American citizen, it told me no.
Huh.
So I guess they're saying some people circumvented that using a VPN and lying or whatever, and that's library's fault. Because, and I'm a good friend of Jeremy's, and I really like what he's doing, but this whole, it's like, now we have to protect Odyssey. I want to protect Odyssey and Library. Don't get this wrong, but like, to save crypto. Well, it's not an attack on crypto. It's the government saying you can't sell crypto as the creator of the crypto directly to the consumer because it's a security. Yeah. And I don't know how that's going to play out.
Is that why the Brave browser marketing is all complicated with their crypto?
Yes. That's why they stuck Uphold in the middle to distance themselves, to put a third party. Like, so if you created Nicole Coin, mm-hmm. right?
I'd buy that for a dollar.
You know, once
dollars.
Once it gets listed on an exchange, you can sell all the Nicole Coin you want on, you know, Bitfinex or whatever.
Right.
What you can't do is I'm like, hey, Nicole, I want to buy some Nicole Coin. And you're like, okay, Jack, how many? I'm like, 10,000. And I buy it from you. Now you're offering a security. So somehow, but it doesn't
make
sense.
That's if I accept USD.
It doesn't make any sense because no security can be exchanged for another security directly. So like if you own Ford Motor Company, we all agree that's a security. Fine. Okay. If I want to go from Ford Motor Company to ExxonMobil, I have to sell for fiat and buy. The fact mm-hmm. that cryptos are fungible into each other should negate this, but we all know that doesn't matter.
It's that doesn't matter.
Arguing facts and logic, and that does nothing with our government.
That's one of those things that it's – I want to invite everyone April 24th and 25th to the Decentralized, Distributed, and Disruptive Technology Summit, d3techsummit.com. And that popped into my head because we're doing this cool thing as part of the Greater Reset. But I've been thinking about this first decentralized evolution, which is a counter to the fourth industrial revolution, which this – immunity passport is the essence of a fourth industrial revolution and how they're going to track and trace. And I'm like, what are the barriers to us creating this decentralized utopia, you know, liberty utopia? It's not going to be utopia, of course. And I sometimes feel a little downtrodden, even though I try to be super optimistic, because when we first early got onto crypto, and Hawk will resonate with this as well, it was like the wild, wild west. And we were so hopeful and idealistic and optimistic that cryptocurrency is going to kill the banks and it's going to upend the state, right? And now fast forward several years and it's largely been co-opted and controlled, right? And then when you have these opportunities, it seems like there's Monero and a handful of others, but the whole tone has shifted. And I think it's still going to be difficult to leverage that tool as a means to bring about the society that we desire. It's gotten watered down a lot. There's laws. Everyone's Ian Freeman, good friend up in New Hampshire that does Free Talk Live, and five other people got arrested for operating an unlicensed, doing an unlicensed money transmitter business because they were selling crypto as a church, right? That would have been good for the church episode the other day. Ian got his bail denied, but all they were doing was selling crypto, charging a fee, and they got like a big deal. Department of Treasury and FBI agents came and raided their houses and jacked their stuff. And so just something I've been talking about. Hawk and I did the last Unloose the Goose talking about how can we overcome these barriers? How can we get back with the progress and excitement we had before about this decentralized evolution? Cause it's tricky and difficult and really hard.
I think not putting a target on your back, like that sounds like you're putting a target on your back. What Ian and his guys did. I don't disagree with it, but like you're on the radio semi-nationally, I guess, cause they're on multiple channels or whatever with Free Talk Live. And you're like saying, look what I'm doing. And it's like, I don't know. It seems like there's better ways to do this. Like,
call it Unloose the Goose.
Yeah, we don't all the time, but we don't have Goose Coin, or we're not running like the Goose fiat to crypto laundering service. Like, I think that should be totally fine. Like, if we want to sell Goose Coin and it was built on, you know, Monero or something, and but you know what you're doing when you do it, and I don't think that's smart. Like, I mean, X
they knew that there were certain laws.
There's things you're doing with Firon, right, that you'd prefer to do differently, but you also, like, you and I agree, neither one of us is spending any time in Club Fed. We're not going.
No, it has to be all done, like, appropriately. And I know you guys hate Ripple, but, like, if somebody did, like, what Ripple's doing but actually decentralized it properly, they'd be fine. That's why Firon.com. The idea is, like, you have to treat it, you know, like a business and do it properly within the bounds of the law, and then create like the Disneyland where they have Disney dollars and you can do whatever you want in that, you know, but there are good rules and laws and ways to do things that are fair, and everybody agrees what those rules and laws are, you know?
Well, I don't agree with those rules and laws.
Vaccine passports. We got smart people here.
I got somebody at the door. Hold on one second.
Uh-oh.
Jack was talking.
Uh-oh.
Hi, X.
They're in trouble. They're in trouble.
Come back through like this.
Well, you want to get back to solutions? I laid out one, like, let's build our own counter economies, right, and lean into that. What solutions you guys got?
Nicole?
This isn't a suggested solution, but I would say if one were in the situation where one needed a passport and one really needed to travel and couldn't without the passport, one might find a way to get a passport without getting a shot.
Hypothetically.
And I think when you look at this and how far it can go and how far it has gone, you need to be aware of the risk of something like that versus if you're going to do it or not. Because I get so many questions about how do I break the law to do X? And, you know, having a target on your back because you're broadcasting that you're doing something is not a good idea, but knowing what the options are and what the consequences are is important. And I think as this starts happening, we need to pay attention to that. Other than that, being able to transact with I don't think if it goes through, I don't think there's a lot we can do to stop the legal structure other than do something else, like just not comply. But, you know, a big old political fight against this, if it's going to win, it's going to win. That's where I'm at on that.
Could in some of the state levels, like Florida, it's winning in Florida. It's kicking ass in Florida, the politics against this.
You know, it just takes one. We do have a federalist system. Like, all of us would prefer a stateless system, but we have a federalist system, and it has advantages over a flatter system where you have more centralized control. And so it just takes. Now, there he is. He's now been injected.
He's okay.
He's got the
system. No, it's just my personal CIA agent saying we can't talk about this stuff anymore.
Okay.
It was Klaus Schwab.
Klaus. Shut up, Xavier. No, I don't know what I was saying now. I'm lost.
It has to be done legally by the law, you know?
I mean, counter-economics seems like the only answer I can think of, honestly, John. Like, I don't see something outside of that. So maybe we should talk about more specifically how that works.
But even at that level, right, all you do is that you pigeonhole yourself into smaller and smaller circles. There has to be a way for energetically or, like, you know, biologically for it to grow and overtake the other, you know, the charge needs to be big enough, strong enough, with enough resources to counter, not just counter and resist, but like change.
The inside outside game.
When all the technocrats and everybody following them leave and go live on Mars and we stay here, does that do it?
The slave planet.
Yeah.
Global Australia. Prisonplanet.com. Everyone's like, why is Alex Jones calling it a prison planet? And then you, like, 20 years later, oh, prison planet.
I think making our ways accessible to normal people.
Our ways? Wow. The ways of the Jedi?
Yeah, the ways of the Jedi. The ways of the Agarai.
Because,
of course I know.
Think about it. When we were going into all the shutdowns and we're all on the phone with our loved ones who are like, why are you a prepper? And you're like, so.
Yeah.
How many weeks of food have you gotten toilet paper lately? Mm. And we were doing that. And at one point, one of my relatives said, you sound like a loon. And then the next day I called and said, have you stored up or signed up for ButcherBox yet? And they said, well, yeah, I just finally caved to your pressure. And then the day after that, ButcherBox stopped taking people and the shutdowns got like ramped up.
Yeah.
So how do we not sound like loons when we're like, I know, just go on Freedom Airlines and pay $1,000 to go to Dallas, Texas instead of 200 round trip because now you don't have to have the passport or for, you know, a free vaccine and an app on your phone, you can just pay the $200. What's the marketing for that? Well, outside of, well, then you don't have to be, you know, it's not an invasion of your privacy and freedom. Yay. Because that's not the answer for those people who are kind of liberty leading, but aren't quite there and kind of think preppers or people like us are loons.
The same reason I fly first class. It's better.
Yeah.
Right. It's better.
Right.
I mean, like, so now you're telling me instead of 800 for first class versus 200, I got to pay a grand. Because if I can pay a grand to go to Florida, I'm never, ever flying commercial ever again. To be able to just show up, get on the plane and go. And like, even if there was no COVID and none of this crap, like, I don't know if you've ever flown private. I have a couple times with some business stuff. And it's so much better.
World apart.
It's so much better. I was the dollar for general, like I was Burrick.
Although I do miss getting felt up by the TSA guys.
Do you make sex noises?
I do. I make them super uncomfortable. I'm like, you know, I paid the extra. I do this just because I want to be touched. And then I bring the argument like, you know how little we touch each other in society today?
That's a good one.
Higher, harder.
It moved.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you got to put a pepperoni in your pants next.
But I do think we need to think that way, Jack, where it's like,
look,
it's
Nicole's getting all
because
serious. Bring it back, guys. Bring it back.
And that's
it's better because it's a better experience. Oh, yeah. And it's really good for personal liberty rather than personal liberty is the entry point. That's only the entry point for like this many people in our country.
Because most people think they're free while they tie a chain around their neck, right? Like,
right.
Got them on that front. Ooh. I think success
helps.
Because
the TSA makes you safer. People still look me in the eye and like hold eye contact with me and say, but they make you safer.
And you don't just like start cracking up
underwear
and being like, oh, sorry, you're serious?
Yeah.
The underwear bomb. I told a border patrol agent once driving back from Mexico, I told him a joke because you got to show him your visa. And I was like, do you accept MasterCard? And he clowned on me. He's like, real funny, real original. I haven't heard that one. That was a terrible joke. And I'm like, dang, this guy's really ripping into me. So I was like, I got to think of one quick before we move on. And I said, I got another one for you. Let me lay it on you. He said, okay, go ahead. And I said, what's the only thing more useless than an 11th toe? He goes, I don't know what. And I said, the Department of Homeland Security. He didn't like that one.
Oh.
I was hoping I'd get a rise out of you guys. That one kind of bombed a little there. Come on, Nicole, give me something.
I mean, I was watching in awe as somebody in our comments thought that we're pro-vaccine passport.
Yes, yeah, really? Somebody's not quick.
The Libertarian Party in Nevada is.
This wallet is blue.
I saw that. I was going to say earlier, I think success will help us be more influential. Happiness, health, success, frolicking with the grandchildren, hugging, doing little cool festivals with big, exciting rock and roll stars or whatever. And then people are going to be like, well, I want what they have. And like, what do you guys do that's so different? And we're like, hey, man, it's just freedom. We're just free and happy.
And we have to counter that with a lot of visual, I think, because on Nicole's point from way earlier when she was talking about how the divide is not really, you know, Democrat, Republican, it's more like lockdown versus not lockdown. So the people that were locked down, they're more willing to give up anything to end this shit. And like states that didn't really, like Texas, Florida, were like, yeah, no, right? Like, cause as bad as it wasn't really what it was for you.
Right.
Well, what I've noticed is everybody I talk to, like we have family in New York, we have family in New Jersey, we have friends in Oregon and Washington. The only thing they hear about on the news is how bad the states are that didn't lock down. All they hear is South Dakota, Texas, Florida, South Dakota, Texas, Florida. And I had family members from New York that they came down to visit my son, and they were iffy on coming because they thought Texas was so bad.
It's so bad. That's like North Korea level, like.
Right. But what they do, they tell you about the place you can't see.
Right.
So they can, like Stephen King one time, they asked him, like, what made you so great at writing these horrific novels and really scaring people to their core? He said, when you were a little kid, you were afraid of something under your bed that wasn't there. And because it wasn't there, what your mind created was more terrible than anything that actually could have been there. And I write about that.
Wait,
that's what they're doing. That's why you're in New York, and they're like, oh, like they made, like, there was some article a few months ago, maybe 5-6 months ago, they were bringing refrigerated trucks in because so many people dying in Texas hospitals. And I'm like, no, they're not. You know, like when I was in Florida on vacation last year, my wife changed the channel when she went up to the hotel, and I went in and she left MSNBC on, and I stood it. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God, and they were talking about Florida. I'm like, holy shit. And all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute. And I looked out the window. I'm like, what the fuck? What they were describing sounded like Bosnia and it had been hit with like nuclear weapons. And I'm like, I'm looking out, like chicks are bouncing around in bikinis and stuff. And I'm like going, I don't even understand. I was in my car the other day and I was hearing how all the cases in Texas, hospitalization cases were going up. And I pulled my phone out. I pulled up their AGIS website. I'm like, no, they're not.
No.
But I was on satellite radio. See, so we're going to talk about the place you can't see, and then that will manipulate you.
Yeah. Well,
somebody in the questions.
Even if they just say the truth. Here, we had 240-something new cases of COVID. Two people died. That was a headline. As if.
Yeah, the headlines are.
They've already like not
more
due,
people were hit by cars on the freeway and killed than that. Not to be callous about those two people, because you know anybody who
wouldn't
have died who had to. I feel bad about that, but like they make it sound like that's a huge scale.
So somebody in the questions asked Nicholas Covey, "How far can this go before a state, Texas, takes initiative and goes their own way?"
John, Jack.
I don't think there's a lot of political. I know the whole secession thing. People are excited about it, and there's movements. But you like one thing I learned with people do this, like let's move to this county and take it over. And they're like, we just need. It's a small county, but it's like, you know, practically speaking, there's a good old boy network in every single county, and they are not going to easily give up power. And so I think that there's just so many damn. Benefits, even though the federal government steals like a dollar and gives you back like 30 cents or something like that. I think that like the political elite, even the conservative ones, it's going to be a difficult sell for them to leave and exit the union. There are states like Texas that probably have a better chance of doing it. But look what happened in the freaking snowstorm. You know, everyone used to talk about Texas has its own grid, but that grid didn't serve the people of Texas.
That wasn't because Texas's grid sucked. That's because the Texas Power Company started sucking 10 years ago on the federal tit and putting in excess freaking green energy to then work worth a shit when a storm comes. And if we weren't part of the damn union, that wouldn't have happened in the first place. So the union's the problem, not the solution to that. And nothing was done by the federal government to fix the problem anyway.
Like, but then you've also got the logistics right in Florida of DeSantis saying there will be no mandated passports here.
Yeah.
I think Ohio just did too. And then you have like just logistics. How the hell are you going to actually do that or not do that?
You
and
then secession by default then because like
exactly. It's
what
like
you're saying is like so when like the federal marshals decide they're going to do some shit in Texas. They literally can't do it without local help. Not they don't
correct.
Have authority. They do not have the ability.
Right.
Like, That's how California legalized the shit out of cannabis for so long. And when the federal government wasn't completely looking the other way and still saying, you better do this, they just went, fuck all, do it yourself.
Yeah.
And very little happened because, I mean, I have I don't know how you call him, my niece's husband, who's a cop. He works on federal marshal task force. And he's like, they can't do shit. They can't do anything locally without local support and resources.
Yeah, that's the whole constitutional Peace Officers Association or whatever, Sheriff Richard Mack and stuff. That's their tactic and strategy. And sometimes they don't enforce gun stuff.
Correct.
So what, get them to not enforce the COVID stuff and the immunity passport stuff.
Yeah, because you've got to think that there are tons of sheriffs who are really about not enforcing that. And, you know, if you don't have the support at the local level, like what do you, like you're going to operate, but you're going to have absolutely no on the ground intel or support. Good luck with that.
That even happened at the city level, like in Houston. Houston passed this law like you were going to get arrested and fined if you went out without a mask on. And the chief of police for Houston said,
yeah, fuck
we're
that.
Not doing that.
Yeah.
Like, so he told his own mayor to go shove it up his ass. He's like, we literally don't have time or resources for this shit. So like, like how are you going to like mandate that? I think it could be like instead of like secession the way we think of it, you know, 1860s style, like secession, like fuck off. We're not doing it.
Non-compliance.
There's been rumblings of like this coalition of states. Like
yeah.
It started with the election fraud. Where
yeah.
Like DeSantis, Abbott, a couple other governors were like, maybe we need this new coalition, like this new confederacy, but not in the way that was meant during the Civil War. Just kind of like instead of saying we are going to nullify individually, we're going to nullify collectively. Like we're all not, which is not much different than how concealed carry got kind of almost everywhere. Like states started doing it, then they started forming reciprocity. So do you maybe get this thing where it's like, well, you can't go to New York, you can't, and like all these other states say like.
I think that's the most likely scenario, to be honest.
Wow.
If you really push this shit, I think that there will be that coalition of states. And yeah, I think it'll be kind of around the same people who were the same states who were basically like, yeah, the election's bullshit. And,
yeah.
And the Supreme Court said you don't have standing. It's like, fuck off. Of course we have standing. This is legitimately affecting all those states now. So I would think that if there is this vaccine passport or mandate that, you know, people like DeSantis taking the lead and then going with Abbott and then, you know, Nevada and Naomi, is that her name?
No.
Naomi?
I love her.
Yeah, she's cool, right? So like all of these, but then they have to think about fucking business and logistics. What resources does Texas have that Florida needs or South Dakota and North Dakota have, you know, that Texas needs? And then you actually have to come up with trade routes that are going to be allowed to go through, or then will they require certain bus or, you know, tractor trailer drivers to have their passports so they can get through the town, get through the states. You know, it's like all of this other shit has to start being like bandied about.
They're all land connected except for South Dakota. Like that's, we're just going to have a like.
Right.
A tunnel.
South Dakota every
Freedom Railroad.
There you go. Freedom Airline, Freedom Railroad.
Tank before you go in.
Yeah. Hello, Hawk. This is Klaus Schwab. How's the app coming along?
Oh, you know what's funny is like a couple comedians and myself were talking about doing like a world court where we make puppets and put people on trial.
Nice.
And just make fun of them, like put Xi Jinping or whatever and Klaus Schwab and all these motherfuckers.
Bill Gates.
And Gates.
Yeah, exactly.
Me and my friends were going to do a common law court, and we were going to do a citizen's grand jury and indict Bill Gates. It's totally valid. I don't know.
That sounds like it really was real somewhere that somebody said that.
That's a thing people do. It's like one of these common law things. So that is, you know, that's like the practical side. At the beginning of the program, I was like, they're rolling forward with it. But like when you really pick it apart and think about how is this actually going to play out and what are the problems that could arise, it's going to be a tall task. And you know, I think one sector that they're going to leverage is concerts and sports ball, right? And that seems like there's a lot of people that may not be in favor of it or think it's ridiculous when they see it, but the thought of being able to go with their significant other on a date to the show or to go watch the LA Lakers or whatever, that could be enough to get it going. And it could just be little sectors of society that end up complying, you know, not holistic.
I've never been one for either of those things. I love shows and whatever, but
We're cool. We'll do our own shows.
Yeah, exactly. And after a year of not having any of those, people are sort of, in my opinion, perhaps like, well, like I haven't had it for a year. I don't think they're like craving it or thinking that they needed it as much as they thought that they needed it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. You do know that people paid to have avatars of themselves in the stands. Like you could spend money for a football game that you couldn't go to. You watch it on TV. They sent them a picture. They made a cardboard guy that looked like you and put it in the stands, and people paid for that.
Yes.
Somebody close to me did.
Oh, my God.
To make money. Yes. That's the thing. There are always opportunities to make money.
Mm, yes, aliens, clever. Please come and take me home now. Thank you.
That was that phone call earlier.
It was basketball, football. I know basketball and football both did it. I don't know if anybody else did. And it was not just pros. It was college and shit, too.
Yeah, there's people that are super into
We should
sports.
NFT that shit, right?
Like. NFT all the things. Nullification and interposition are good strategies for this, and a lot of state governments do just defy it. One thing for folks that are listening, a great solution, if you haven't already, if you live in California or New Jersey or Massachusetts or one of these total statist hellholes that's relatively tyrannical – do what, feel empowered, even if it's like a 3-year plan or a 2-year plan or whatever, get your ass to Texas or Florida. Florida's looking hot for me. Like, wow, what a cool place.
Real estate's out the window. It's so high. Yeah. What is interposition?
It's like interposing. So nullification is when a state government passes legislation and then interposition is when they're like, we are just not going to comply or we're going to put some barriers to you carrying out the federal thing. Yeah. The 10th Amendment Center, 10thamendmentcenter.com has got all sorts of great work, and it's ran by this guy, Michael Bolden, who was originally like a liberal, and then all the conservatives were into the 10th Amendment when Obama was president, and he was like talking about the weed and stuff and kind of confusing them. Cool guy. Does a lot of great work.
10th Amendment I've had him Center. On my show. Maybe we should get him on here. He'd be a good guest goose, man.
He's fun. He's smart, too. Well, what we got like 15 minutes left. What other solutions or what I brought up earlier with the counter economy, a great resource is agorist.market. Agorist.market. Our good friend Mike Swatek put that together, and it's just a business listing. You can list your business or service if you have it, and you can search by the category and stuff. And of course, the Freedom Cell Network, we just broke over 20,000 people, and everyone's of this mindset and on this wavelength. What are we going to do about it? What can we do? Let's work together to figure out some ways around it. You know, it takes action. Don't, for one thing, don't watch this podcast and just be like, wow, that's a really terrible problem. Let 6 months to a year go by and you've done absolutely nothing to better set yourself up for freedom in the future, or at least better set yourself up to avoid slavery. That's the worst thing you could do. Jack will tell you about when the best time to plant a tree is, huh?
Yeah, yesterday. Next best time is today. I mean, like, I think the biggest thing people can do for themselves is starting a business. And I know I sound like a broken record with that, but like with people like, but my job's going to make me get a vaccine. And I'm like, sorry about your luck. And I don't mean to feel that way, but on some levels I do, because I'm not going to make myself get a vaccine, right? I'm not doing it. So like, I can't tell you how many things, and I know everybody here is an entrepreneur, right? How many things did other people have to deal with during this last year of shit that you didn't? And when you look at it, you go, there's a certain amount of it because your mind was in the right place and you just didn't participate. But how many things like you go, yeah, I say not to do that, but if I had to go to work every day at a place that said I had to do these things, and my choice was between doing what they said and not feeding my kids, you'd swallow your pride and you'd do it. But when you call your own shots, you're like, well, and I think that that is true for every walk of liberty, because there's so many things that people are like, I have to do this, I have to do that. And I'm like, well, just design around it. Well, they don't get to design, right? They don't have a house that's empty and a furniture store. They have an apartment where all the tables are bolted to the floor when you move in. They can't really, they can put some pictures on the wall. It's about it. They pull some shit with let's say Florida makes a 180. Like they elect a freaking Democrat and they throw in like a huge state income tax. X is just going to move. He's just going to move Firon. Even if he doesn't move himself, he's going to move his corporation. And he can do that because he calls the shots. Hmm. Anybody else has to sit there and take it in the butt.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'm just totally an idiot and crazy one, because I want to build a system that allows everybody to have that kind of a freedom. Now, the question is, here's a tough question. Do you think everybody can? Do you think that they are capable? Do you think everybody is capable of having that level of freedom? If the system worked well, do you think that they are responsible enough? Do you think that they can?
I think they can, but I don't think they want to. Some people like to be pigs. Pigs go feral as quick as they can. They will kill you to get away, and they go back to the wilderness. They do whatever the hell they want. Mm-hmm. They basically eat and make more pigs. That's all they do. There are people that like to be cows. They're like, please milk, right? Like, they like it. And I think there's people that they're not incapable, but they don't want to. Like, how many times have you, like, been working with a kid, and you're like, you know they can do the thing, but they don't want to do the thing, and you have to figure out how to make them want to? It's
right.
not about teaching. It's about motivation. And I think at least half our people are now they're fully domesticated.
Like
chemically, TV, all this weird cultural stuff.
The possibility of having to take responsibility for everything as a good feeling. They can't see beyond that.
Showing helps.
It's an empowering feeling. It's like you feel good about being and you're not afraid of dying because you did your damn thing, you know?
Living a good, fulfilled life.
But I'm doing X because if only half the people can do it, let those half of the people do it. And, like, you know, everybody, we can all have somebody that's like our puppet, like, you know, our gopher, right? Or piss boy with a bucket, right? Like,
go for it.
Movie, right? Remember the movie, right? You're good to be the king. We can all be the king with one subject then if half of us are willing and the other half. I'm happy to tell somebody everything they need to do if they'll take care of all my shit for me every day. That's great. Like, you know.
Enslave them.
Go outside, drain the pond, clean the ducks, you know, whatever. Like, yeah, fine.
Wait a second.
Tell you, I'll do it.
I think that realization, like strategically, if we are to have a successful strategy towards a free society, we have to take into account the fact that a significant portion of the population, whether it's intrinsic or they've been manipulated to feel this way, they enjoy their servitude, or at least they're terribly frightened of the responsibility that would come with total freedom. And so we have to figure out a way to peacefully coexist, right? We can isolate ourselves and do a property over here, a seastead over there, but we're still going to come into town, visit family and interact, right? So it's like, how can the statist maintain their statism and we find a semblance of freedom? And like, what does it look like when we interact with one another? That's something that needs to be addressed for any strategy towards a free society.
Like voluntary federalism. If you want a master, I won't prevent you from having one, but you have to let me not have one. Like, kind of I don't know that much about it, but I was listening to a thing on the way the Federation of Networks works in the Mastodon network, where people just choose to federate or defederate with other groups. Like, so something which is probably similar to what Xavier would have within Firon, where, like, if you don't want
Firon.com.
You don't. And I think that can we do that? So we can do that in the virtual world, right? But can we do that when we walk away from our desks, put our phones down, and we're just going down the feed store, right? Can we coexist that way? And I don't know, because, man, people that follow are big on violence by proxy. They really are.
Mm.
Well, and it turns into violence. So they do violence by proxy, but eventually they're the ones perpetrating the violence under a perception that we're going to attack them, even though we keep saying we're not.
Yeah.
That's not what we're about.
There's so many mind games going on.
If we have any of those people listening, I would just say, please stop trying to start a fight with the people that have all the guns.
Oh, gosh.
Please.
All the guns.
We don't want to do this, but if you make us do this, we are not – this is not the fight you're looking for. It really isn't.
Yeah. I think small towns are easier to have the understanding who is who, right? We did an episode on getting out of the city. That was a great episode, I thought. I learned a lot from that. And if you're in a small town, smallish town, even super small, 2,500, 5,000, 10,000 people, like you can get to know the shopkeepers, right? And if it's a conservative small town, which most small towns tend to be, maybe this whole weird technocratic progressive Bill Gates follow everything they say on MSNBC as truth thing will be less prevalent, and you can get to know people and you can share value. You don't have to agree with them 100%, but you could still jam together. You know, the small towns are where it's these big smart cities where there's just so many damn people and so many of them are brainwashed, go along to get along and dependent. The small towns out in the country, there's more independence. So that comes with more freedom.
It's funny how people in depopulated smaller towns are closer emotionally and relationally, and then people packed in like sardines in cities are more distant emotionally and in every other way other than physical.
It's ironic.
So yeah, I think the magic number there is under 40,000 people.
Yeah.
Because we've done research that we know that the average person can know the person, like not intimately, but like I know who that person is. I know what they do, et cetera. About 200 people we can keep in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then if you take like certain people in there that can do a little bit better than that, maybe know double 400, then you have like leaders within your groups of 200 that can know like at least one person in every other group, 200 times 200 at 40,000. And basically that whole town is interconnected on an interpersonal relationship. Because even if I don't know John, I know Xavier and Xavier knows John.
Right.
There's never us and them completely because, oh, he's a friend of my friend. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to hurt him. And as soon as you go past that number, then there's a them and screw them. That's how we think is that we're tribal beings. We really are. And once we get much larger than that, I don't think we can keep that concept of this is one of my people too type of mindset. And I think that's what we need if we're going to ever allow that kind of freedom of like, you want to be a sheep, go ahead, dude, but you're ex's buddy. So, you know, I'm cool with you. And mm-hmm. him going, you know, you're ex's buddy. So I'm cool with you too. And I'm going to go over here and sheepify and you can go over there and be a wild lion.
Like, anyway.
Sheepify.
Yeah. New words.
That's something new that I've learned. Thanks, Jack. 40,000 people.
That's 40,000. It's a good number.
Well, this does break down along urban and rural lines, and the whole conflict, the bigger picture conflict we're always talking about, is very urban rural.
Throughout the history of America, too.
And they still try to divide the cities, you know, and the country to try to get more of a divide there. It's interesting how we're
playing into their gods and their guns.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they manage to throw us in a camp, I get top bunk.
FEMA camps, another conspiracy that's coming true.
I'm taking the bottom bunk because it's closer to the ground, which is where you dig the tunnel to get out.
Right.
There we go.
I watched Hogan Heroes as a kid.
What's your big picture goal, Jack?
Yeah. All right, we're coming up on wrap-up time. This has been great. This is a big deal that this type of thing is so real and being rolled out all across the world, already having been like China and Singapore were way ahead of the curve with the little green phone thing before you could even enter. Every time you would enter your hotel or your apartment and go anywhere, you had to check in with your immunity passport. And so I just hope folks that are watching don't only watch. We need more doers and we need more action. And I know Jack and Nicole's audience, right? That's something that they getting shit done and doing stuff and building and construction and gardening. Like we need a nation and a community of doers. So I hope people will do more stuff.
Cook good food. Learn to cook good food. All the stuff that you like that you can't cook. Like if you can't make Chinese food, but you like Chinese food, learn that. Then you never have to worry if they'll let you in or not.
Heck yeah. Well, you guys got any parting words? How about this? You know, one thing, the Libertarian Party of Nevada, total dorks. Tom Woods sent an email about this. Tom Woods so all over the COVID stuff. He's good when it comes to that stuff. But the Libertarian Party of Nevada tweeted like, we support the private development of immunity passports through entrepreneurship and maybe even decentralized blockchain technology. And I'm thinking like technocracy. Total clowns, but it's like, I don't know. Never mind. I was getting into some stupid philosophical thing about maybe people can do this, but there's no point. I would hope everyone listening to this podcast knows that it's a total manipulated sham and there's no sense in buying into it, even if it's aligns with libertarian values. Like, who gives a shit?
I'll just say I'm happy to wear a t-shirt that says I've not been vaccinated. Stay the fuck away from me. I'm okay with that.
Like that. Like when you're not wearing a mask and there's a bubble around you.
I love that. It's like Moses. I call it Moses syndrome. You do a crowded store and just everybody moves and you're like, oh, this, we did that. Nicole and I and some other folks, we went to a liquor store and it was masked hard central.
In Fort Worth?
It was down, yeah, it was down by like, I can't think of the name of the place now, Benbrook. It was a Specs, big, big, huge liquor store. And there was probably a good 2,000, 3,000 people in there, masked up, employees and all. And it was four of us. And we just walked through the store and people just moved. It's like, I want to look at vodka. Shit, get away. He's coming to the vodka. You know,
pour the vodka on him. I've gotten the habit of, because I never wear a mask, and I've gotten the habit of moving away from people just as a courtesy to them, because I know everyone's freaked out, and I know that I'm choosing not to wear a mask, and apparently it's normal to wear a mask. So I just kind of like, I'm just going to avoid you, whatever, man. I'm going to smile, though. You're going to see my smile. It'll be the first smile you've seen all day, probably.
I do that as long as they're not in the way.
Yeah.
Like,
then you go hug them.
Let's say I need to get, you know, steak out of the cooler, and like there's a couple masked people staring at the steak. I stand back and I wait. And then it's like, I guess I'm getting some steak. It's like, okay, you're not going to make your mind up. And then again, you lean in and they're like, and then they look at it like, oh, I better not buy steak now. He touched it.
Oh my God.
Now, whatever.
Yeah, interesting times.
I try to be nice though. I do.
Interesting times. Can't. All right. Anybody got any parting words for the audience today? We've been talking about COVID immunity passports, the very real thing that's happening now. And I hope people feel empowered to build some alternatives, because we need everyone to participate. No,
I want to support what you said earlier for people who find themselves, or maybe it was Jack, in a position where opting out isn't immediately easy for some of this stuff. Assess your house, your health, your finances, and your long-term plan, and you can take one or two steps a week in that direction, and that's good enough for right now. Like, just start and be steady about it. Don't feel panicked that you need to, like, abandon ship and run to Florida, although that time may come, and then, you know, X is going to have to say no to a bunch of us.
We're shacking up with X. Yeah, at least come up with a plan. And then take baby steps towards that plan. And I've found having a community really helps. You can get advice. You can ask about an area. You could ask about an industry. You can get hired by someone. Community is critical to make this easier. What do you got, Hockey? Look all like you got something really smart to say.
I don't know how I do that, because I'm like, what the fuck are we going to do? Here we are having a show about all the solutions, and I'm just like running the calculus through my mind, and I'm saying, you know, listen to you guys' comments about, you know, masks are normal now. And I'm like, wait a minute. Are they really? Like, am I that out of touch with what the fuck's going on? Because for me, it's like, no, masks don't belong here, you know? Yeah. So I think for me, it really comes back down to getting right with God, making sure you have zero fear of death, and then making sure that you take every step that you can to enjoy your life now as it is and in every way possible. And if anybody tells you that you shouldn't, and it has to do with fear, you can tell them to fuck the right fuck off. Or I don't know if that made sense, but fuck right off.
And fuck the right fuck off.
Yeah. Come on now.
Whatever floats your boat, X. Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
What do you got, Jack?
You know, I do think there is something to moving, and not necessarily Florida or Texas. There's a lot of states that have not gone into this lunacy. And if you live in one that did, the best vote you can make is to take your money, your time, and your talent and go do it somewhere else. And I would say don't bring your shit with you, but I have found that the people that do that don't. This idea that people, you know, come from California to Texas and mess up Texas. We're creating our own freaking problem here in Texas. We're making our own liberals, and we make them in a place called school. So the other part of that is, and get your kids out of school. We just had a really great young man. He was 16 years old this last workshop, and he's homeschooled. His dad's a teacher that quit. And somebody said something like, school teaches you to hate your parents. And he was like, well, no. And he was trying to explain. I said, no, school doesn't teach you to hate your parents. School teaches you to hate your parents' values. So then you hate your parents. And this 16-year-old kid was like, that's it. That's exactly what it is. You know. So, I mean, pull them out and get out.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
Go to X's backyard, man. Move. Become X's neighbor.
Yeah, yeah.
X and Sal.
I need some woofers.
Let's do it. All right. This has been episode number 34 of the Unloose the Goose podcast. We've been talking about COVID immunity certificates, as Bill Gates called them, or vaccine passports. You're going to be seeing more and more and more of it on television, and your friends are going to be posting about it. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? And I'd like to invite you to join the Freedom Cell Network, freedomcells.org. There's a bunch of Telegram groups as well. And also join the Unloose the Goose community. We got a growing community on Facebook. Lame, but whatever. And we also have a lot of people on Telegram. It's a very active chat group. So you can find those groups, links to those groups at unloosethegoose.com. And you can also subscribe to the podcast or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Until next time, we're living free in Tennessee, Florida, and Texas.
Fireon.com.
Join us, fireon.com. All right. Peace, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Hi.
Honk. Unloose the goose. We'll take no view.